The reading this morning is Psalm 68. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. As smoke is blown away by the wind, may you blow them away. As wax melts before the fire, may the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God. Sing praise to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord. And rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. But the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. When you went out before your people, O God, when you marched through the wasteland, the earth shook, the heavens poured down rain. Before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. You gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it, and from your bounty, O God, you provided for the poor. The Lord announced the word, and great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings and armies flee in haste. In the camps, men divide the plunder. Even while you sleep among the campfires, the wings of my dove are sheathed with silver, its feathers with shining gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings in the land, it was like snow fallen on Zalmon. The mountains of Bashan are majestic mountains. Rugged are the mountains of Bashan. Why gaze in envy, O rugged mountains, at the mountain where God chooses to reign, where the Lord himself will dwell forever? The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. The Lord has come from Sinai into his sanctuary. When you ascended on high, you led captives in your train. You received gifts from men, even from the rebellious, that you, O Lord God, might dwell there. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. Surely God will crush the heads of his enemies, the hairy crowns of those who go on in their sins. The Lord says, I will bring them from Bashan. I will bring them from the depths of the sea, that you may plunge your feet in the blood of your foes, while the tongues of your dogs have their share. Your procession has come into view, O God, the procession of my God and King into the sanctuary. In front are the singers, after them the musicians. With them are the maidens playing tambourines. Praise God in the great congregation. Praise the Lord in the assembly of Israel. There is the little tribe of Benjamin leading them. There the great throng of Judah's princes. And there the princes of Zebulun and of Naphtali. Summon your power, O God. Show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring you gifts. Rebuke the beast among the reeds, the herd of bulls among the calves of the nations. Humbled, may it bring bars of silver. Scatter the nations who delight in war. Envoys will come from Egypt, Cush will submit herself to God. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praise to the Lord, to him who rides the ancient skies above, who thunders with mighty voice. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the skies. You are awesome, O God, in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Jeff, thank you for reading that long psalm for us so well. And everybody, if you have it in front of you there on page 582, that will be a huge help, Psalm 68. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you speak to us today in your living word, the scriptures. Through the Spirit of Jesus, please fill our minds with your truth and also fill our hearts with love for you. Amen. When did you last see something so wonderful, so beautiful, that your heart was filled with joy and awe? It can happen sometime if you're looking up at the night sky and the vast beauty of the Milky Way suddenly catches you. It can happen if you're listening to a piece of music and you find you're transported to a place of wonder. It can happen when you hold a little baby and you're amazed at the perfection in which they have been made. When did you last see something so beautiful, so wonderful, that your heart was filled with joy and awe? I saw a football match on the TV and there was a boy, a mascot for Swansea Football Club, and he was waiting in the tunnel before the big match. And he suddenly came face to face with Wayne Rooney, who was the captain of Manchester United, the opposition. And it was a bit awkward because Wayne Rooney was on the other side, but you can see there a look of absolute wonder came over the boy's face. And his mouth hung open and he went, "Wow, Wayne Rooney." Do we still experience that kind of joy and awe in our lives? In particular, if we're Christian believers, do we feel that kind of wonder towards the Lord? If you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, can you imagine feeling that kind of joy and awe about God? Well, over the next 4 weeks, our sermons are drawn from the book of Psalms. The Psalms are songs to be sung by God's people. They're songs inspired by the Holy Spirit, part of God's word to us. They're songs that teach us of God and that point us forward to Jesus Christ. And as songs, the Psalms have a particular power to shape our affections, to move our feelings. So some Psalms are Psalms of lament, and they are for pouring out grief to God. Some Psalms are cries for help, and some like this one, Psalm 68, are Psalms of praise. Let me read from verse 1, and I think we'll see that. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. As smoke is blown away by the wind, may you blow them away. As wax melts before the fire, may the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, sing praise to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. This is a psalm to fill us with joy and awe before God. Now, as with any song, each psalm has a structure, and very often the structure unlocks the meaning. So this psalm starts and ends in the same way, with David calling on God to act and then calling on the people to praise. Do you notice that at both the start and the end? So verses 1 to 3, may God arise. And 28 to 31, summon your power, O God. David is calling on God to act. And then verses 4 to 6, sing to God. And 32 to 35, sing to God. David calls on the people to praise. That's the start and the end, the bread of the sandwich. And then in between, we have two long sections. In verses 7 to 18, David sings of God's past victories. And in verses 19 to 27, David sings of God's present and future victories. And those two sections mirror each other as David shows us that as God has been, he is today and evermore will be. In our sermon today, we're going to start with the meat of the sandwich as David sings about the awesome God Most High. And then we'll finish with the bread as we think about how we respond to God. So first then, the awesome God Most High in verses 7 to 18 and 19 to 27. As David sings of God's past victories and his present and future victories, he opens our eyes to what God is really like. We see first that he is the God who provides for his people. It's verses 7 to 10. When you went out before your people, O God, when you marched through the wasteland, the earth shook. The heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. You gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it. And from your bounty, O God, you provided for the poor. In these verses, David describes the Exodus when God led his people through the wilderness and into his inheritance, the promised land. And in those days, God showed himself to be mighty. At times, the earth shook and the heavens poured down torrential rain. But God also showed himself to be the tender provider for his people. He watered the promised land and provided for his people in it. And David wants us to know that the God who provided in the past still provides today. So in verse 19, he returns to this theme. Verse 19, praise be to the Lord, to God our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. You know, at times, especially when we walk through hard times, we can think of God as uncaring. We can think of him as like a pampered millionaire who doesn't care about the plight of the poor. But the truth is that God knows the burdens of his people. And not only does he know our burdens, he daily bears them with us. And he rescues us again and again, even from death. See, the God of this psalm is mighty, but he also cares for his people, especially the needy, for the poor, the fatherless, the widows, the lonely, the prisoner. When we come to God in our need, whatever that need is, we find his tender care. He is the God who provides for his people. David continues, he's also the God who defeats his enemies. That's what David sings of in verses 11 to 14. The Lord announced the word, and great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings and armies flee in haste. In the camps, men divide the plunder. Even while you sleep among the campfires, the wings of my dove are sheathed with silver, its feathers with shining gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings in the land, it was like snow fallen on Zalmon. David is singing here of the conquest of the promised land in the days of Joshua, where God fought as a mighty warrior for his people. The Canaanite kings who were in the land to start with were strong and mighty and extremely wicked, but they fled before the Lord. Scholars debate what it means, the wings of my dove are sheathed with silver. It could be a picture of God's people taking up the plunder of the Canaanite kings who God had defeated. God scattered these mighty kings like snow scattered on the black mountain of Zalmon. And again, David wants us to know God never changes. God, who defeated his enemies in the past, will defeat them again. So look at verse 21, where he returns to this theme. Verse 21, surely God will crush the heads of his enemies, the hairy crowns of those who go on in their sins. The Lord says, I will bring them from Bashan, I will bring them from the depths of the sea, that you may plunge your feet in the blood of your foes, while the tongues of your dogs have their share. Those verses are certainly bloody, but they're not bloodthirsty. They describe God's judgment on those who go on in their sins and will not turn back to him. A judgment that belongs to God and not to his people, although his people will witness it. And again, we sometimes think of God as weak and powerless in the face of evil. We imagine him as an enfeebled grandfather wringing his hands at the wickedness of the world, but unable to do anything about it. Nothing could be further from the truth. The God of the Bible is a mighty warrior, and he will judge the world with justice. To go on in our sins, to go on in rebellion against God without turning back to him, is to face total ruin. Now, this is a challenge to our wicked world, but it is also such good news for God's people, because it means that one day God will defeat sin and Satan absolutely. One day all of the evil and wickedness in this world will be at an end and gone forever. One day good will triumph, because God is the God who defeats his enemies. Well, David is singing of the awesome God Most High. He provides for his people. He defeats his enemies. And then third, he dwells with his people. Look at verses 15 to 18. The mountains of Bashan are majestic mountains. Rugged are the mountains of Bashan. Why gaze in envy, O rugged mountains, at the mountain where God chooses to reign, where the Lord himself will dwell forever? The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. The Lord has come from Sinai into his sanctuary. When you ascended on high, you led captives in your train. You received gifts from men, even from the rebellious, that you, O Lord God, might dwell there. Now God is pictured here as a victorious king who has led his people from Mount Sinai, where they received the law, all the way up to Mount Zion, Jerusalem, where God would dwell with them in his sanctuary, the tabernacle or temple. So God is like a victorious king arriving home. He brings his army with him. He's defeated his enemies. He's received gifts and given gifts to his people. And now he ascends into his sanctuary on Mount Zion, where he will dwell with his people forever. In fact, scholars believe that this psalm was written by David for the occasion when the Ark of the Covenant, which was symbolic of God's presence with his people, was brought into Jerusalem for the first time. And for that great day, David wrote this psalm. And so in verses 24 to 27, he returns to this theme of God coming to live with his people. And he describes the procession of the Ark of the Covenant as it's brought into Jerusalem. Verse 24, "Your procession has come into view, O God, the procession of my God and King, into the sanctuary. In front of the singers, after them the musicians, and with them the maidens playing tambourines. Praise God in the great congregation. Praise the Lord in the assembly of Israel. There is the little tribe of Benjamin leading them. There the great throng of Judah's princes, and there the princes of Zebulun and Naphtali." Now here is God coming to dwell with his people, and all of God's people, from the least to the greatest, rejoicing God's presence with them. And in fact, a little later in verse 31 and verse 32, David even envisages the day when the nations of the world will come and worship God who dwells with his people. Again, we sometimes think of God as distant from us, as detached from our lives, as being like a celebrity shut away in a gated mansion who we can read about but never know personally. Well, the God of the Bible is the God who is close and who dwells with his people in intimate relationship. Now, looking at the psalm so far, the breathtaking thing about the awesome God Most High is the combination of his qualities. He provides for his people, he defeats his enemies, and he dwells with his people. With a human being, the more powerful they become, the less they care for ordinary people. I'm sure they don't mean to. It kind of happens inevitably. The more powerful they become, the more detached they are from the concerns of normal life. Not so with the Lord our God. He is like a flawless diamond in the perfect union of his qualities. In God, we see immense power united with intense care, united with intimate closeness. Every facet of his character works together as a perfect whole and shines with his glory. And these very perfections which David sings about are the ones that we see in Jesus Christ. In fact, did you know that when the Apostle Paul wrote Ephesians chapter 4 in the New Testament, he took Psalm 68 and verse 18 and applied it to Jesus. Now, that was an astonishing thing for him to do, because Psalm 68 and verse 18 is the climax of the victory march of the Lord God Almighty from Sinai into his sanctuary in Jerusalem. And David takes that verse and he applies it to Jesus. And he says the victory march of the Lord God Almighty was just a picture of the victory march of Jesus Christ from the earth to the cross, to the resurrection, to his ascension, and to his pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Paul is saying, if you want to see this Lord God Almighty, you see him in Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ provides for his people. He daily bears our burdens. In particular, he bore the burden of our sin on the cross. See, when we come to Jesus as those who are needy, as those who know our spiritual need for his forgiveness, well, he provides us with forgiveness and clothes us with his righteousness. Jesus Christ is the God who dwells with his people. He lives in us by his Holy Spirit and is gathering people from all the nations to join in his joyful assembly. And Jesus Christ is God who defeats his enemies. On the cross, he defeated sin and Satan. He took our sin away and disarmed the evil one. And when he comes again, he will defeat all wrong and evil will be gone for good. This is the awesome God Most High who we meet in Jesus Christ, who came to bear our burdens and rescue us from death. Well, before we finish, let's look at the bread of the sandwich, at our response to God. And the first part of our response is persistent prayer, keeping on praying. So in verse 1, David prays, may God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. Now he's echoing there an ancient prayer of Moses. Whenever the camp of Israel would move in the wilderness with the Ark of the Covenant in front, every time they pitched camp and moved off, Moses would pray, rise up, O Lord, may your enemies be scattered, may your foes rise before you. I say persistent prayer because in verse 28, David echoes the same prayer essentially. Verse 28, summon your power, O God. Show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. We express our faith by praying for God to act, not because he might be inactive otherwise, but because in his grace he chooses to act through our prayers. Last week, you remember Neil Watkinson was preaching on Colossians chapter 4, and he told us about one of his students at the Cornhill Bible Teaching Training Course in London. He told us about a student who had moved from Cuba to London and who had a word with Neil and said, Christians in the UK don't pray very much, do they? Now, it's a generalization, but it's a stinging observation. Christians in the UK don't pray very much, do they? Well, it must be because we've lost sight of the awesome God Most High. And so I want to put the prayers of verse 1 and verse 3 and verse 28 back into our hands and encourage us to pray these prayers often. So if you're grieved by the global situation, the war in Ukraine, the global injustices which displace so many families, keep on praying verse 1. Arise, O God, may your enemies be scattered. May your foes flee before you. If you feel in your own life ensnared in patterns of sin and lukewarm in your love for Christ, well, pray that God would scatter his enemies in your life and would lead you, verse 3, to rejoice before God. Be happy and joyful. If you're concerned for a member of your family who is wandering from Christ, keep on praying, verse 28. Summon your power, O God. Show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. If you're facing struggles at school, at work, you don't know what to do, pray verse 28, summon your power, O God. Show us your strength. We express our faith in persistent prayer and also with passionate praise. It's what David calls for in verse 4. Sing to God, sing praise to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord. See, faith combines persistent prayer with passionate praise. Because we don't know how God will answer our prayers, but we do know that he's the God who provides, who rules, and who dwells. And so even in the midst of difficulty, we praise him for who he is. One of the growth groups I'm part of, we were discussing the other week how we struggle to turn knowledge about God into praise for God. I wonder if you find that the same thing. We know a lot about God in our heads, but it's harder to praise him from our hearts. And one of the members of the group recommended this. They said, whenever they read a truth about God in the Bible, they try to straight away talk to God about himself, about what they're learning, and then finish up by praising God for who he is. I really want to recommend that. When you're reading the Bible this week, you read a truth about God, straight away talk to him about it, and then praise him for who he is. We praise God because he deserves it, and also because it's so good for our souls. And then the other great help in praising God comes in the first three words of verse 4 and verse 32. Do you notice the same first three words in verse 4 and verse 32? Sing to God. So easy when we're singing in church for our mind to wander. We're thinking about what we're doing later. We're thinking about what people around us are doing. But our singing is so important because we are singing to God. Now, my singing is not good. In fact, it's very poor. But I try to imagine that when we are singing together in church, we are together in heaven, singing directly to God on his throne, which, spiritually speaking, is what we're doing. So as we sing, let's remember we are singing to God. And that helps us to sing with passion and sincerity. Again, there is nothing better for our hearts than praising God. So when did you last see something so beautiful, so wonderful, that it just filled your heart with joy and awe? Remember that boy before the football match? For him, it was Wayne Rooney. Wow, Wayne Rooney. There is nothing so beautiful. There is nothing so wonderful than the awesome God Most High. He is a flawless diamond. His immense power, his intense care, his intimate dwelling with his people. In Jesus, he has taken our sin and bears our burdens. In Jesus, he defeats his enemies. And in Jesus, he dwells with his people. So let's be like that boy and give him our passionate praise. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for who you are and that you meet with us in Jesus Christ. We praise you that you are the God who provides for our needs, who defeats your enemies, and who dwells with us in intimate relationship. Lord, we pray you'd help us to persist in prayer. Help us this week to keep on praying. Rise up, O Lord, and scatter your enemies. Summon your power, O God. Show us your strength as you've done before. And we pray, Lord, that as we speak to you about yourself, your Holy Spirit would cause that praise to rise up in our hearts. Amen.